Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itsinas.
I'm Kayla Itsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You are listening to Flop Culture, a podcast all about flops, good, bad, occasionally Irish. I'm your host, Fionnuala. I hope you are very well. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode on Totally Scuddly. Vanessa Marcy, my fave. My absolute fave. My two faves, I should say. Happy Leap Day for those listening on the date of this podcast's release, February 29th, 2024. Those planning to propose, best of luck. Hope it goes well. What news is occurring on this fine leap day? Well, let's find out. This, I think, could be the sign of something bigger to come, right? And we've talked about it briefly on the Patreon before with my good friend, the Talk of Shame, Kiki Monique. She came on to do an episode about the reality reckoning that at the time was being kind of led up by Bethany Frankel, a former Real Housewife who was kind of looking to... It was kind of around like filming conditions and payment and stuff like that. That kind of seems to be on ice for the time being, right? But we've another former New York housewife, Leah McSweeney, is now suing Bravo and Andy Cohen. She's claiming that they intentionally preyed on her alcohol problem in a cynical attempt to turn her suffering into record ratings. So in this lawsuit that she filed on Tuesday, she talks about Scary Island, which if you know Housewives and you know Real Housewives of New York, you'll know is an episode in which... one of its stars is very confused, very irrational, kind of saying mad things. And she's claiming in that the Bravo or the franchise won its best audience figures ever with this episode, right? And she's also claiming that they knew that she was battling alcohol addiction when she joined this show. Had a history of serious mental health problems, saw her vulnerable condition and took that as an opportunity to kind of boost ratings by messing with her and exploiting her until she went off the rails in a similar way that we saw on Scary Island. There's allegations of coaxing to coercion, to refusing her time in her schedule to go to AA meetings, retaliating against her for refusing to drink. Where this gets particularly damning is the sentence in the filing that states that Cohen, upon information and belief, Cohen engages in cocaine use with housewives and other Bravo celebrities that he employs and that he tends to provide the housewives with whom he uses cocaine with more favourable treatment and edits.
You also have in recent days Brandy Glanville, who's a former Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star, but she, like Leah McSweeney, has come back to do the big, it's kind of like the Housewives All-Stars where they all essentially go on holidays together and it's Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. She's claiming in a legal letter this week that Andy Cohen previously sexually harassed her by telling her that he wanted to sleep with another Bravo star while thinking of Glanville and invited her to watch the act over FaceTime. He has since apologised for that, but also meant that the remark was in jest, but did also say that it was inappropriate and apologised, as I said. So, like, this really seems like it's bubbling over into something significant, I would imagine. You also had the likes of another Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip star from a scrapped season, Caroline Manzo, previously of Real Housewives New Jersey, also sued Bravo, claiming that the network and its producers regularly ply the Real Housewives cast alcohol, cause them to become severely intoxicated, and then direct, encourage, and or allow them to sexually harass other cast members because that is good for ratings. Like, this, I really feel like we've opened up a Pandora's box, potentially, and I'm not sure where this is going to go. I know people will call Brandy Glanville's account into question because of her involvement in that particular situation with Caroline Manzo. It's alleged that she was involved in a situation on that scrapped Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip where Brandy was accused of sexually harassing Caroline Manzo, and Caroline Manzo allegedly asked for help and nobody intervened at any point. But to see it now trickle down to these other people and kind of to see them all coming out of the woodwork now, I don't know. It's, I'm reading the, I mentioned the Talk to Shame earlier, Kiki Monique on Instagram, and she's gone through the full lawsuit. And but it's interesting to read the comments on that particular post. I mean, you have people kind of rightly also highlighting the fact that Leah's talking about being treated unfairly, but then she also went on to sign up to Ultimate Girls Trip. You have others kind of talking about comparing Andy Cohen supporters to Swift supporters in how supportive they are of him and how defensive they are of him, and kind of rightly making the point that Andy is an executive producer. I mean, like, is essentially a colleague of theirs doing drugs with employees at a major company. Not really sure about that. There also seems to be a lot of kind of passing the blame on to Leah as if to be like, you know, you have an alcohol problem. Why did you sign up to the show in the first place? Which I'm not really sure I agree with that argument, but I can see, I can understand the thinking of it. But I suppose it's just a wider question of, I mean, what makes these shows good? Should they be this way in the first place? Like, this is a hint for an upcoming episode. We just did an episode on the Real Housewives of DC, right? And alcohol doesn't, well, it kind of does feature as part of the show, but not in the sense of, like, nobody is seen to be, alcohol isn't seen to be like a driving factor of that show. And I will say, obviously, as we'll get into, Real Housewives of DC is an anomaly. It only ran for one season. It was like the fifth ever franchise. It was very still in the beginning, early stages where, and you're also in such an interesting place like DC where it's kind of like politics is the main driving talking point, stuff like that. It's not necessarily glam even. But I don't know, like, why, and I know there's a thing of, even if you take it to any old reality show, I know there's big arguments for, God, Love Island used to be better when you used to see them smoke and you used to see them drink. And I accept that to a degree, but then you also have a show in which people were not protected and there weren't protections in place. And, like, it created good TV, potentially, yes, but at what cost? At the cost of literal human life in the case of Love Island. With Housewives, I don't know, it remains to be seen, but I don't know. I don't know. This is why I come to you again, dear listener. What do you think about this? At flopculture_pod on social media. HelloFlopCulture@gmail.com. Do you think this is going to have any impact on the franchise? Any impact on Andy? Let me know. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. And then finally, Ariana is she's doing interviews. Eternal Sunshine, the album, out very soon. I think it's March 8th. I'm going to check that. We will be covering that on the Patreon. I'm very excited is not the right word, but I am intrigued by it, and I'm interested to see what it's going to be like as a record, what we can expect, especially because we're not getting any other singles other than Yes and that abhorrent Mariah Carey remix. It's not good. Anyway, she's doing promo. She's doing promo with the Zach. Is it Zach Sang? I think it's Zach Sang. He has a show on Amazon. I think you can watch some of the clips on YouTube. Zach Sang. And he's chatting to her about the album. And they're also chatting about like the tabloid speculation that's currently surrounding her, right? It's important to know before you get into this that they are friends, right? So it's not even just that she's getting a soft interview. They have a relationship and it's a positive one. They are friends. She's been on his show before. It's one of the most popular iteration episodes of that show. She was previously like quite candid, I would have said, on the show. Not really so much this time around. She's candid in the sense that like it's two friends who are in the know about a situation, who are talking about it and alluding to it, but they're not really getting into it in any kind of big way, right? So he is kind of talking about the darkness that came along with this happiness, because he asks her if she's happy and she talks about, you know, professionally, I've never been happier, because she's Wicked coming up. Obviously, this new album, it's all going very, very well. And he mentions the fact that Eternal Sunshine is going to be talking to people that have come to their own conclusion, because obviously she's this massive public narrative around her with regards to her current relationship with Ethan Slater, Broadway star, musical theatre star. He co-stars with her in Wicked, and there is a lot of speculation around their relationship as to when they got together. She was previously married to a property fella, his name is Dalton Gomez, and he was previously married to his teenage high school sweetheart. They have a child together. A lot of speculation around when that relationship began, right? Ethan's soon-to-be ex-wife, I'm not sure if that divorce is finalised, but his ex-partner anyway, has come out and called Ariana not a girl's girl, allegations that they had all been out together, like them as a couple with Ariana, and then the news of them being together kind of broke. None of them have ever spoken out publicly on it since. Ariana kind of addressed it in the Yes And song. I might have talked about it in this podcast with the lyric, "Why do you care whose dick I ride? Why?" Great question. She's a real thing of our times. And she's kind of talking about this in the tabloid speculation, and she kind of goes into this. I don't really know. I get the point she's making. I'm not sure she made it incredibly well. She emphasizes the album was for her fans. She says, the thing is that we know this about the tabloids and about the media. Am I crazy? Don't we know this? We selectively remember that this is what the tabloids do to people, especially women, based on whether or not we like the person. That up to that point, I'm like, bang on, though I would argue, I feel like she's perceiving it to be that people don't like me at the minute, which, to be honest, I don't think is true. I think she is catching strays from certain places, but I think ultimately the song won over a lot of people, and I think that she still has built up a lot of goodwill, and I think that's still working for her, not against her. Anyway, she continues. We selectively leave space for humanness, for nuance. The media leaves space for their friends and family, but they turn it off when that aligns with the version of a person that they have in their head and they want to believe is true. Kind of word salad, but again, I do think I understand what she means in the sense that we have obviously built up a perception of Ariana because of the philanthropy, things she's gone through in her life, what she puts forward as a celebrity, what she's put forward in her music about positivity and stuff like that. And then you hear a story like this where there's cheating allegations and there's a specific situation where I feel like we think differently about a situation when it's like, oh, there's a child involved or they were together a long time, whatever. Morally, that makes it worse to some people. But anyway, she continues. I'm not saying this for them about the album. I'm saying this for my fans, for myself. And then Zach is like, is there anything you wish people knew? And she says, plenty, we don't have enough time. We don't need to go into any specifics. But of course, there's an insatiable frustration, inexplicable hellish feeling watching people misunderstand the people you love and you. Now, I will say, I'm not sure insatiable was the right word to use there, but I digress. Here's the thing. Does she owe us anything? No, not really. The issue is, though, if we have it so wrong, you have an opportunity to correct the record here with a friend in a safe space, someone who, if you want to say one sentence on it and let that be it, they'll be like, oh yeah, perfect. Like, we won't have, you can say that. All she needs to say is, look, there's a misconception about my relationship and I just want to say that's not true. It can literally even be as vague as that, right? But that's what kind of, it's this, I don't know. I don't know. And then I suppose from her argument, it's like, well, if I do say that, then I'm still kind of inviting all these people in and all this exposure. I don't know. I'm very intrigued to hear the album, especially hearing her talking about it in this interview, because she's saying it's some of the most painful things she's ever written, and it really captures grief and heartbreak in a way that she's never done before on a record. So we'll see. We shall see, girls. We shall see. You know what else we shall see about? Flops. Released in 2010, Leap Year seemed to have all the ingredients for success. A charming premise, a talented cast, led by the one and only Amy Adams and Matthew Good, and picturesque Irish landscapes. Yet, despite its promising elements, the film received lukewarm reviews, to say the least, and failed to capture the hearts of audiences at home and abroad. Joining me to discuss Leap Year is broadcaster and presenter Mearn O'Connell. Enjoy. Mearn O'Connell, thank you so much for joining me on Flop Culture. How are you?
I've been waiting.
She's been waiting, girls.
Like, what have I done? Did I poo in her cornflakes? Why has there been no text? Like, this is all about getting them out there. And I mean, all I do is watch the telly.
All you ever do is watch the telly, truly. An enviable life you live watching telly.
And there were so many options. And Fionnuala was like, hold on now a second. You're going to have to give me a moment to watch an entire series if this is what's going. Because this was, I've been waiting for like a year, 2 years to be like, okay, I will, with when Fionnuala does eventually decide, okay, there's no one left, I'm going to ring Mearn. And I'll be like, okay, we can just go straight in with my so-called life. That was it. This is where I was. I was ready to go that one series beauty. And in that space of time, I've gone from adoring it so much to wanting to gouge my own eyes out when I see Jared Leto.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I can't actually talk about him because he makes me want to...
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So instead, we went for something, you know, it's timely. It's given the year that it is. You chose a film that is called
Leap Year. It was staring us in the face.
It was staring us in the face.
I was like, we have to do Leap Year, the pièce de résistance that was surely done for tax purposes for Amy Adams in 2010. Starring in it, obviously, an Irish Colleen, because you got to have the red hair.
Of course,
this movie came at a time when we were going through the crash. I mean, we were just 2 years after the crash, and this explodes onto our scene, and this was it. I was like, this is what Americans think of our culture. Yeah. There has been no growth since the Shillelagh, since Darby O'Gill and the Little People. That is where we still are. And I think I've watched that movie, I would honestly say, about 17 times.
Same. I actually watched it a lot with my friend Jessica. Shout out if you're ever listening to this. It was like a sleepover staple. Mm. And I don't know why, because as rom-coms go, it's a bit kind of miserable. It's a bit like... slightly joyless in terms of trying to buy into two people who are supposed to like, enemies to lovers trope, whatever, that they eventually fall in love with each other. What was your experience of initially watching it and then coming back to it for this?
Horror. I was like, why is this released in February and not in October? This makes no sense to me. Truly horror at the time, because like that, I watched it with people. Like, we're all sitting around our rented house, lashing this on the DVD, going, this isn't really happening. This isn't happening. We're not doing this. You have to pause the DVD to go, is the accent worse or better than Tom Cruise in Far and Away? Then you've got to go get a clip of Far and Away, and then you've got to judge Matthew Good on that. So there was a lot of things going on there. But then the more we watched the whole thing, by the end of it, did I want to ride Matthew Good? I absolutely did.
Look, he's very handsome. The accent is tragic. The accent is so much worse than I remembered. So much worse.
Truly horrendous. He does say one thing. He says Egypt very well.
Yes, he does say Egypt very well.
Yeah, but that's it.
That's it.
Like, that's it. And I love that when he's spoken about this movie, in the time. Like, he destroyed it. The only reason he did, he's like, this will be the worst movie of 2010.
Yeah.
And the only reason he did it is because he wanted to be near his girlfriend and his newborn baby.
Yeah.
And he was like, Wicklow, I can, I'm very tall, I can jump.
Yeah.
It's fine, I can jump back
classic.
To England. And I just, it made me love him even more on the press tour. I was like, I adore you for just being honest about what a turd this is.
Yeah.
Because around, was it around the same time? I can't remember. Renee Zellweger had done that movie New in Town.
I know the movie, yes.
Where
she lands on the door of somewhere and it's all snowy.
Alaska.
Yes.
It's like the anti-night country. And she arrives in Alaska. There's Harry Connick Jr. there. And you're just going, so this is, you've got a really big tax bill. Like,
yeah,
something is happening here. And I have read interviews about that where she is selling, that woman, that Texan, she can sell. Beyonce, get her on your team. And she, and I was just like, thank you, Matthew Good, for just being like, oh, this is a heap of shite.
Because like, Amy Adams didn't do a lot of press for it, unsurprisingly. At least Matthew Good came out and was like, I'll do the interview. I'm the surly barkeeper.
Yeah.
Here I am. Newtown was the year previous. But so yeah, we are in the right.
We're in the right.
2009. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
some of the, because previous to this, because there is some sort of obligation to do an Irish movie for some of these big stars, right? You know, I don't know what it was that Pierce Brosnan was doing, but I think he was getting people really drunk and being like, come on to Ireland. It'll just make them really happy. Just give them 10 minutes. You know, we didn't have Instagram back then and they were like, just walk around and it'll eventually make its way to the Sunday Independent Life section that you've been spotted somewhere and they'll just be happy for a little while. They just like the glamour. They don't want to annoy you. They just like the glamour. And
the
for
glamour.
Some reason, I don't know, like the shady deals that have been done in this country in the past, the brown envelopes that were given to celebrities to do these movies, I don't know, because we could also talk about another redhead, Julianne Moore, I'm looking at you, in Laws of Attraction with Pierce Brosnan. Again, a movie I have watched way too many times. And Michael Sheen was in that. So this, obviously, this, if you don't know, and if you haven't seen Leap Year, please watch it.
Please. Oh my God, please.
I'm begging you, we should do a watch along. So it stars Amy Adams as a person who stages houses so that they can be bought for a very extortionate price. Can you imagine that was a job? Like in Ireland now, literally someone would come in and take a dump on the floor as you're viewing the house and people would go, 100,000 over asking. Like, you just don't need to make anything look good. So the fact that was a job in 2010, amazing. But, you know, we were in the property.
I honestly thought that was a job that Selling Sunset made up. So then to hear, because I couldn't remember her job. I thought it was like real estate or something. And then when she was like, no, I stage houses. I bring all the furniture and then I take it away, whatever. I was like, oh my God. Okay, so this isn't just something Amanda does in fucking America. Brilliant.
Amanda staging houses.
Oh.
This is a rug. So, obviously, bear in mind that she sells a lifestyle.
Yeah.
That is all maybe a little bit phony, that her life isn't real.
Mm.
So she is going out with Adam Scott.
Totally forgot he was in this. And as someone who has since watched Severance and will be doing a recap series whenever Severance comes back.
I'm currently in the middle of a bit of a severe sort of, oh my God, what is happening in the world? So I'm watching Parks and Recreation to make myself feel better.
Yeah, yeah. I've never watched. Is that really bad?
Lord, and start at the end of season 2, start of season
3. Yeah, everyone says that. Everyone's like, season 1's a bit weird. Okay.
It's not bad. I. It's one of those things where you're jealous for what's ahead of you.
Okay.
I'm so happy for you.
Okay.
You know, it's like when I find out that people have gotten pregnant or they've bought a house. I'm
brilliant.
Like, oh my God, I am genuinely
you're
so happy
Parks
for
and
you.
Rec.
That's
how
same. High it is for me.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Brilliant.
So Adam Scott, around the time of Parks and Rec, is in this and he is a cardiologist and he is going out with Amy Adams, but he hasn't proposed after 4 years, guys. And we all know after 4 years, if you haven't proposed, you die.
Yeah, you might as well be a you withered, all disgusting, ringless, husky, dirty.
Awful.
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 Just
sew it up.
What's it? Yeah, what's the point? Like,
we all know the epoch of life.
Yeah.
Is getting married.
Yeah.
Enter John Lithgow, who's wandered off the set of Third Rock from the Sun accidentally, going, my career is about to take off again in a major way very soon. I'm just going to pop in here for a minute. As Mr. Brady. Yeah. Mr. Brady!
Mr.
Her name is Anna Brady.
Yeah.
Who tells a story about the old country. I've done the maths. It was Amy's grandparents, or Anna's grandparents, who he didn't want to get married. So she forces, the grandmother says, let's go back to the old country because it's leap year. And there's, we all know in leap year in Ireland, every woman proposes to men.
Yeah.
Sorry, did we not say that that's the crux of this? This very well-known
tradition
that we all have.
Is that not? not global. Since when is that just here?
No idea.
Okay.
But you know when you need to sell a little bit of Irishness? Like, again, you got to remember, we were in the crash. No one was visiting. There was nothing. Yeah. Johnny Ronan had lots of places to show off and Americans were coming. So
we were like, please, guys. Please. There's so many Carl's Irish gifts that are just waiting for you to enter and buy keychains, you know?
Let's be honest. There is this, like, if you look on Reddit, there does seem to be a lot of American women who don't realise they can just say, are we getting married?
Yeah.
Like, that they think that there has to be some sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, I did the maths on it as to when Amy's grandparents would have come back to Ireland to do this on Leap Day. It was like during World War II.
Okay.
You know, that's the timeline because this is in 2010. So fair play to her.
Priorities.
For coming across the Atlantic to make sure that she got married during World War II. I love it. So she hears
Girl
this.
Boss.
Anyway, basically, she comes over. He's at a conference in Dublin. Of course, the HSE are always having conferences for cardiologists. They like paying big bucks for that sort of stuff. And then they're at this conference. She's like, I'm going to ask him to do this on leave day. She ends up meeting a dingle innkeeper because she can't. Her flight gets sent to Cardiff. And from Cardiff, you always end up in Dingle.
Yeah.
And so begins the story of their journey from Dingle to Dublin, which somehow takes 3 days. Where they fall in love.
Classic.
That is Leap Year.
Yeah, this is a very geographically confused movie, which is probably also why Irish people find it frustrating, because you've the bad accents. She's supposed to go to Dublin. She ends up in, she's in Wales, then ends up in Dingle, but is supposed to go to Cork, but is on a boat. So she technically could have gotten to Cork before she got to Dingle, but somehow doesn't. There's a castle superimposed from Leash at one point.
Yes.
It's just, this film's a mess, but I'm the same as you. I find it quite endearing. I kind of love it.
And you're also going, when they're on one road, going, that's the road from P.S. I Love You. But
yes! Oh my God, yes!
Like, that's the P.S. I Love You road. And that's it, Wicklow. So what I think that we actually like about this movie is because everyone can pretend to be a doctor watching Eeyore or Grey's when they're watching it, because we know Ireland.
Yes.
So we're like, excuse me, that is not Dingle. That's not that's not how you pull into Dingle. That's not where the boats go. That's not the dock. That road isn't in Tipperary. We're all allowed be doctors going, I'm sorry now, but you can't open the sternum that way, when they're watching Eeyore and Grey's Anatomy. And we're allowed. So we've got this smug sense of superiority going, we know better than ye.
Yeah.
And I rather enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing that I do like. Ireland looks beautiful.
That's one of the things that was picked up on some of the positive reviews. There were not that many, but it is something that's highlighted about how gorgeous Ireland looks. It's, which it does. Yes. And Amy Adams, very good in this, as like, takes a bit of time to warming to, I find, as Anna.
I agree. Amy Adams gets put into these roles that I'm like, what? Like the Lois Lane thing, I will never get it as long as I live.
Bizarre.
She was just in a different world with a different Superman. She would have been great.
Yeah.
But her, I just don't understand it. Her Lois Lane was in a different universe to his.
Yeah.
And to Henry, because Henry Cavill does one thing.
Yeah.
In this, I'm just wondering if some redheads are contractually obliged to look like they are sewn to their heels, like Bryce Dallas Howard in Jurassic World.
Yes,
she's
not allowed
to take the heels off, and then she's going to run around with the heels. And the same thing with Amy Adams in this. Then I went back to 2010. Guys, we did not take the heels off. I remember walking. I don't think I was even living in Dublin then, but my God, did I wear heels everywhere that I went.
Yeah.
Everywhere that I went, I have got the feet to prove it. So, of a time thing, I had to give her a pass on that.
Yeah.
For wearing the heels continually.
Yeah.
Even though you'd wear a pair of runners at some stage.
Just wear a pair of flats, for fuck's sake.
You know, when you're going to see a cow, wear a pair of flats. Yeah.
She, as I mentioned, she didn't do a lot of press for this. It was kind of Matthew Good did a lot of the heavy lifting. But there was like one, it was definitely kind of a junket interview where like everyone got the same kind of answers. And she talked about like her similarities to the character Anna. I think that's why I was attracted to the character. I tend to be really pragmatic, but ultimately tend to be attracted to people who pull me into more spontaneity. I've really learned that through surrender, the best experiences of my life have happened. One of the things that attracted me to this story was thinking you have control, losing control, and then finding an amazing life for yourself. Perfect. Perfect.
What a long way.
She should have gotten the Oscar for this.
What a long way to say I liked the paycheck. What a long way to say I need to pay my PRSI. Wow. That's just not true. She wasn't attracted to Anna in any way, shape or form. No. Anna isn't endearing. And you're what they're setting up, when people ask, you know, when do you think, what about AI? I'm like, it was, what's this one called? Oh, Leap Year.
Leap Year.
Like, it was written by AI, surely. Ireland, superstition, accent, romantic comedy, redhead.
Yeah.
And this is what was spurned out. And Matthew Good does look incredibly well.
Hapless young woman who is desperate to be married. This was a big theme of rom-coms at the time, where it was like desperate to be, as we've already talked about, like have to be married, or a worthless woman if you're not married.
Yep.
Here's this loner, quiet man. Oh, he's been so hurt and bruised before, but he just needs to find the right girly whirly. And here she is off the plane from Boston to melt his ice cold heart. Matthew Good as Declan O'Callaghan, where we?
Yes, as Declan O'Callaghan. A fine name, a legitimate name.
A serviceable Irish name,
completely.
Yeah.
It's just, I just don't, it's money, okay? I just have to get over the fact that she did this for the money. And all the cliches that they decided to throw at the kitchen sink. So we know this isn't for an Irish audience. It's for second, third, fourth generation Americans looking for some form of modern day nostalgia, but they're trying to do that, you know, that Gable Colbert, the sort of Catherine Hepburn, Cary Grant in the Philadelphia Story, the Kate Hudson and bloody Matthew McConaughey, you know, in How to Lose a Guy. They want that sort of attraction. That's what rom-coms are. Two people who hate each other who end up falling in love. And Jesus, they just looked like they didn't want to be in the same room.
No.
And like, again, it didn't even look like they were mates.
Yeah, she again gives a very unconvincing answer in the same interview about him. She said, oh, he's great. He's so charming and funny and he's smart. He brought so much to this role. Did he? He just enjoyed playing Declan, did he? And that was so much fun. I love the character of Declan and he was absolutely perfect in it. There is, right to the very end, it's not, he looks great. He's very handsome. It's at no point is it convincing to me that it's like, oh, yes, they're in love. I don't think she should end up with the Adam Scott character in the end, but it's a struggle.
At one stage, I was like, just get with the priest on the plane. It would make more sense to me.
I would have. I'd like to see that version of the movie.
That would be an interesting thing. Like, why would you spend your time doing this? And why have I watched this at least 16 times?
Yeah.
Because there is just something. Because, I suppose, our the era of the rom-com, we keep on being told that it's coming back. But in 2010, like we're coming into a very sparse rom-com time.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have a few gems, but there was a lot of shite. So I think you'll just put on anything when you're looking for that little bit of warmth and love. And they're talking down to us so much, but we're like, I don't care. Like, this is what I can't get over when it comes to, people are like, how do we get money out of women? How do we do it? Just give us a rom-com. I'll give you all my money. It's as simple as that. I'm absolutely fine with it. Just give me How to Lose a Guy in 10 days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How to Lose a Guy in 365 days. Whatever you want to do. And getting it this wrong just feels weird. What was the point? And it didn't make that much money. She must have cost a fortune. Like, it wasn't a cheap film. And it all just brings me back to, how much did the government pay for this? How much did the tourist board pay for this goddamn film? Like, the Australians just put Chris Hemsworth on a beach and they just do an ad. And that is more effective than Leap Year.
Yeah.
Than getting people to come here. Do you not think?
I think so.
There wasn't as much with cows as I thought there was going to be. Because I was like, you know, in a film like this, you think there's going to be more cow action.
Yeah.
So they did try to keep that too. A minimal.
Yeah. There's still significant cow action. And it's like, the one thing I will say about this film, like, for a film that's an hour and 40 minutes, not a lot happens. You know what I mean? It's very, and like, it's funny because Good talks in a lot of interviews, again, promoting this, where it was like, everyone loves a journey film. You know what I mean? Everyone loves like a road trip film. And I'm like, yeah, but this is, not a lot happens in terms of memorable scenes, the cow scene and the scene where they end up in that, staying in that guest house with the Italian couple who just can't stop shifting each other. I actually did find that funny. I was kind of chuckling at that scene. I was like, brilliant.
But also, what was the point of this? So in Tipperary, in the B&B, they're staying in the train and the station master's house, which happens to be in B&B.
Yeah.
Because they've missed the train and they're going to get the train to Dublin the next day.
Yeah. And so she can propose to Adam Scott and he's like bringing her, because public transport.
Public transport.
That's a flop.
Top not a flops. Thing. Yeah.
To be fair, we give out about public transport. So thank you for highlighting the lack of public transport in Ireland. Well done. Yeah. Rural transport is terrible in Ireland. So it's a social justice film that I didn't realise, actually. Thank you for that. It's citing the ills. That's it. So this conservative couple, to stay in the B&B, you have to pretend to be married. You have to be married to stay in the B&B. Yeah. So they pretend to be married. So therefore, they've got to share a room. I wonder what's going to happen. But then this conservative religious Holy Joe couple make them do a shift-a-thon like it's coppers after an All-Ireland final around the dinner table.
They're like, you have to shift in front of us. If you don't kiss, so pathetic. Look at these two Italians tearing flesh off each other and you're not going to kiss each other, you losers.
You remember bizarre. You were American pre-teens and sitting around playing fake truth or dare and making younger people kiss. No, is that just in what we did in Limerick? We did this once recently. So we would have been about 10. And then, I won't mention their two names, they would have been about 9. And in our heads, they were going out.
Yeah.
And we're like, you have to kiss. You have to kiss. You have to kiss. You have to kiss. And this scene in Leap Year brought back my past trauma of my crimes against consent. So I just feel really bad about that. Again, it's creepy and weird the way they're kind of making them have to like each other. You have to share a room together. Oh, he's going to see your bra. Oh, you're going to have to share a bed.
Yeah, him constantly walking in on her at the start where they're in the pub and she's like getting changed and he's like, I'm going to make a hang sandwich or something. Like it's
hang
some
sandwich.
Of the, and she's like, what's a hang? Some of the dialogue.
Hang is a verb. I was like, oh, sweet Jesus. Oh, the dialogue is truly
Like, I have the mispronunciation. I don't know what that lyric is or line is in relation to the mispronunciation. Drives me insane, but I also, when he says beautiful apartment, the chihuahua and the duvet, where it's like he's trying to, it's like a Cork accent, but I'm like, babe.
He was trying to get in the region. What are we going to do? What are we actually going to do? Oh, I know what we do. We actually, after this, we grew a crop of very good Irish actors so that this could never happen again. Like, we're done with the Tom Cruises and the Brad Pitts and the Matthew Goods of the world. We're like, we've grown our own. We don't have to do this anymore. Like, I want to see Paul Mescal in a rom-com.
Now.
So bad.
Like, I need it now.
I just think it would be superb. I still, to this day, think it is a crying shame that Michael Fassbender hasn't done one. And Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
I just think it's a shame. I think that they would be... Like, do I want a rom-com between himself and James McAvoy? Absolutely. Like, that's the one that I want to see. I want to see them doing Leap Year. It would be fantastic. But that's what sort of... offensive, but then I kind of watch Air Force One and I'm like, Gary Oldman sometimes sounds like he's from Peckham and he's a Russian terrorist. So do we have a right to be offended? We're just happy to be in the game, lads. They know where Ireland is. Isn't that really kind of before the Celtic Tiger? Sure, listen, we're just happy to be here.
Yeah.
Isn't it great? There was one bit of it. And she's got a Louis Vuitton handbag. Not handbag, it's a suitcase.
Luggage case.
And Jeremy, her cardiologist boyfriend, has bought her this suitcase. And Matthew Good's character slags her, he bought you a suitcase. Now, I'm just wondering, in 2010, if I was going, Jesus Christ, it's as bad as buying someone a Hoover. Or... is it the rise? Was he pointing out the rise of consumerism and commercialism and Instagram huns?
Was he never the villain?
Yeah. Was he just going, I know what's happening here.
Was
look
he
at you.
Recognizing that we were all being just absorbed by capitalism and.
Yeah. That essentially it is just a suitcase. Who cares if it's Louis Vuitton?
Yeah.
It will last a lifetime, apparently.
I mean, I'll believe that they haven't seen me lash it onto a train at Houston, you know what I mean? I think I could make fucking shit of that suitcase fairly quick.
Listen, if that's the real suitcase and it lasted on those fancy Hollywood roads, it'd be fantastic. But do you now think, honestly, that you would enjoy a suitcase as a present? There's a big age gap between us.
No.
No?
You would you?
Absolutely. I got one.
Adam's agreeing.
Adam's agreeing.
Adam would.
My mother-in-law got me one. A few years ago.
Shout out.
I was like, that is an excellent, excellent gift.
Yeah.
I was delighted with it.
It is one of those things that you probably wouldn't think to buy yourself unless you really needed to. And you wouldn't get yourself a really nice one. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't.
Whereas someone else would.
You wouldn't. And it's a sort of like, I'll have that case for life.
forever. Yeah.
You can bury me in it. Like, just hike me over the wall in that suitcase. Brilliant. And I'm good to go. So I was like, that is an excellent, excellent idea. As the road journey goes on, you're kind of just, can this be over?
Yeah.
It's the road movie you want to end.
Because
they have brought in this road movie thing. As they move towards Dublin, Declan views Dublin as the, you know, the, like, it is ground zero.
Yeah.
It is World War II. It is the epicenter. It is the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
Which is really annoying because you're like, lads, I know in America places are really, really far away, but like, you'll have to go to the passport office at some stage and you'll probably have to go to Dublin. So it's just what has to happen. And then this whole thing of Dublin's terrible, you can't get to Dublin, it's €500 to get to Dublin. And then the woman who owns the B&B, she goes grocery shopping in Dublin. She's from Tipperary. Like, unless she's going to Colonel's Court, to be fair, that is a special Dubs.
Yeah, fair.
I'm like, I'm sorry now, there's some Shaw's almost nationwide right there in Rosscrea.
Yeah,
you know,
on,
so you can get that. You can go across the road to Super Value. There's so many Aldis and Lidls. She's fine.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
No, she needs to go to Fallon Burn though. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I think that's it. Yeah.
She was selling in Fallon Burn, didn't they? Didn't they grow all their own vegetables? Well done, you.
It's all coming back
well
to
done
me.
You. Well done, you. So when she gets to Dublin and next thing, the proposal is happening with Jeremy, but she's fallen in love with Declan.
Yeah. Awful. Who could have thunk that? Who could have predicted it?
That was going to happen. Like, you want things to be predictable in life, but not that predictable.
Yeah.
And I think everyone knows what happens. Do we spoil?
Oh, absolutely. Like,
absolutely.
We spoil.
We'll have to talk about it. Jeremy ends up proposing to her on leap day, and it's the thing
in the
that
lobby
she's
of
wanted.
The fucking hotel they're in, and she's like, "Ah, yes." I'm still like, "No, babe, no."
Yeah, and it did look like it was KPMG.
Yeah,
it was. I'm like, we can do better than this, can we?
Yeah,
we can do. Like,
we can. I think
a kid has run in to see mom and dad at work, and they've chipped their baby tooth on that floor, fallen over. That's, we can do better than this. So he asks her to marry him. Oh my God, this is so. But she loves Declan. She looks at Declan, and he's left. It is all so dramatic. Next thing, they're in Boston. Caitlin Olsen, again, from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Why are you there?
Totally forgot she was in this. Totally underutilized.
She's in it for 3 minutes, four minutes.
Yeah, max.
And I'm like, I'm assuming they got her because her name is Caitlin. And they're like, more legitimacy.
Yeah.
That is an Irish fucking name.
Yeah.
So back in Boston, it turns out that Jeremy's only asked Anna to marry him because he wanted to get this fancy apartment.
Dun, dun, dun!
Consumerism. Yeah. She loves Declan. She realizes it. She arrives back to Dingle. She tells Declan she loves him. But Declan has been so hurt in the past by Dublin, his girlfriend, that he doesn't want, you know, he's all about, I don't want to make plans. She's like, I just want us to be together, but we don't have to make plans. I propose that we don't make any plans. Right out of Grey's Anatomy, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't want to make plans. The Macbeth storyline, it's coming right out of that. And he disappears. And next thing, she's transported from Dingle to the Cliffs of Moher.
She's at a cliff. And it's like, what turn is this movie about to take? Because it all seems a bit much, guys. It all seems a bit beyond the fact as well that she's also now acquired the powers of teleportation. Like, yes. it's a lot.
Stunning. Again, if I was American, I'd be like, I want to go to there.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Stunning, beautiful.
100%.
And Declan arrives. It turns out he was going to get his mother's Cladda ring. Cladda ring was a whole other character that we didn't get into. And of course, I want to make plans with you. I want to get married. Just Married appears on his old car, another character that we could not get into because it was a really weird plot device. And she throws the map out the window of the car because the best things in life happen when you don't plan for it, guys. Metaphor smacks you right in the face at the end. Thank you, Leap Year. I can't believe it was made. I can't believe it was made. And I also can't believe it's not more popular at the same time.
Truly, truly.
But like, you know loads of people who have watched it, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. Most people have, or it, when I've said the name to people, people have been like, ah, and then I've explained it and they're like, oh yeah, I remember. Yeah. Okay. Such a dark spot for people. But I also think we're so attracted to, the minute we hear, oh, this movie's set in Ireland and yeah. the accents are really bad. We're like, ding, ding, ding. Yeah, no, no, get on, get on, get on. Even when like Wild Mountain Time came out a few years ago, which I actually still haven't watched, but like it was just, it's catnip to us.
I have to say, I couldn't, I was so excited for Wild Mountain Time, like really building up to it. And then one of the trailers, when Jamie Dornan's accent was a bit, I was like, I don't think I can put myself through yeah. this. Like, we were just out of COVID. I was like, I can't, I don't think I can do. This is what the Mescals and the Scots have done. They've yeah. ruined it for everybody because they've got legit accents.
Yeah.
So that's it. It's one of my favourite flops. I will never give it up in my entire life.
Where does this fall for you in terms of like the canon of Irish movies that are set in Ireland? The accents are really bad. Like, what's your top three, top five?
Oh, God.
Sorry, yeah. Have to do it.
That's really on the spot because I didn't go that much. I haven't watched Wild Mountain Time and yeah. I'm hoping that that will be.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Once I've gotten over the trauma of COVID, yeah. that I'm ready to kind of deal with it. I would say, so if we're talking in the veins of, and it is set in Ireland, so we're talking Laws of Attraction, Leap Year, Far and Away.
Michael Collins.
What are you talking about?
Well, sorry, genre-wise, no, but accents. Accents, I mean, terrible Irish accents.
Liam Neeson's accent's great in that.
Yeah, he's, it's...
Like, as a Cork woman.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not that bad.
I watched it recently. It was on in the pub.
Classic.
It was on in the pub in Cremorne, yeah. in Kerry. And we were just like, Michael Collins is on. And everyone all of a sudden, the people who aren't playing cards are all staring at Michael Collins. And we were like, fair play, the accent isn't bad. So attractive. Michael Collins is definitely up there.
Yeah.
I think I've watched Leap Year more than Michael Collins. I have to say...
Irish history, Amy Adams, Matthew Good.
Matthew Good. Like, I read A Discovery of Witches because of Matthew Good. Mm. The worst series of books.
Has that been cancelled as well, the TV adaptation?
They did all three series.
Oh, okay.
They did three series.
Good for him.
They probably could have done more, but I swear to God, I loved the first series of that.
Yeah.
Terrible, but don't read the books, please.
He was in a really interesting position, though, prior to this. Like, he did a couple of, like, significant roles. Like, you're talking in a Woody Allen movie. We're not getting into Woody Allen,
but
in Match Point, you know, like, The Lookout. But then he'd also come off the back of a couple of, like, other flops, like the Watchmen movie adaptation people did not like. And he mentions in an interview where he's promoting Leap Year that people, like, would often come up to him and be like, yeah, I didn't like Watchmen, lol. And when he's talking about this, he said, I was told it was going to be like The Quiet Man with a Vaughan Williams soundtrack, but in the end it turned out to have pop music all over it, a bit like Chasing Liberty again, which he also starred in.
Yeah.
Do I feel I let myself down? No. Was it a bad job? Yes, it was. But you know, I had a nice time and I got paid. And obviously you referenced earlier, like, he has genuinely said he took the role because at the time his girlfriend was pregnant, or he had a small child.
Yeah.
Had just had a baby. So he was like, he wanted to be able to travel. He said that fully after the fact, openly was like, this is why I took this role.
Yeah. And I love him for that.
Yeah.
Like, I remember at the time being like, I love you for that. Thank you for being so honest.
Yeah.
I see, the thing is, I wouldn't be including The Quiet Man in that because... Like, he's got an American accent.
Mm.
Like, are they playing? Are we saying Barry Victor McLennan? He's got his Irish accent. Ward, what's his name? Like, The Quiet Man is one of my favorite films of all time. It will always be.
Mm.
There is something so magical about that film. I don't know I suppose it's myself and my dad watched it all the time. It was just, that was the movie at Christmas. You sit down, you watch. The music was so beautiful. It was so colourful. And it is feeding into the oh, begar and begosh. And we all know that at that time, there were women locked away in laundries. Like, this wasn't Ireland. But I do think it's fabulous. I loved it. And it does have this sort of medieval chivalric sort of storyline to it. So it'll always be The Quiet Man. But for taking the piss, it has to be... It has to be Leap Year.
Yeah.
And I'll never stop watching it.
Yeah. As you said, it didn't make a lot of money. It made more than its budget. So the budget was $19 million, made $32.6 million.
Yeah.
Opened at number 6 at the American box office. Can you guess what it opened behind?
No, 2010.
2010.
I haven't a clue.
We've got Avatar, obviously.
Oh, sweet Lord.
Avatar, Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeak.
Oh, no.
Daybreakers, and It's Complicated.
Oh, well, It's Complicated. Yeah. I've been out for ages at that stage because that's great. Meryl, yeah, you're all good with that. I do know that this is the year, 2010 is also the year that Morning Glory came out, which my job currently is working on a breakfast television show.
Yeah.
So everyone, when I first got the job, was like, have you seen Morning Glory?
What's Morning Glory? I haven't seen Morning Glory,
God.
I don't think.
Morning Glory is Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
Stars as a producer of an early morning television show that's on the down.
Yeah.
So it's got Phil from Modern Family and Diane Keaton as the stars. And they oust one. Harrison Ford then comes in to host the morning show. And then she falls in love with Patrick Wilson.
Brilliant.
It is glorious.
Okay, I'm immediately going to watch
it. It is so glorious. I genuinely sit there sometimes going, why wasn't this more of a hit? Again, it's painting by numbers, but Rachel McAdams is just so... Like, I know you've discussed season 2 of True Detective and her trying to break out of that role. But my God, she's so good.
She's so good.
She's so good.
It's just such a shame about everything else. But yeah, she is.
I know. Like, what's that one that she did with Channing Tatum where she loses her memory based on the true story?
I was literally just about to say Amnesia, but that's the condition. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I cannot remember the name.
Remember
of
all
it.
That? Like Rachel McAdams being quirky. Like, she's meant to be alternative. Love it. Like, it's so bad. It is so horrendous. I just think, shove her in anything, I'm going to end up watching it. But that was the year that brought out, like, Morning Glory. There was a J-Lo movie out that year. You know, we're kind of on the downturn.
Is that the one where she meets her man from the Hawaii Five-0 reboot?
The Australian fella. Lachlan.
Yes, he's so hot. But but she gets pregnant and then she meets, like, the love of her life. And it's like, fuck, I'm pregnant and I met the love of my life. This is a disaster, so I pretend I'm not pregnant.
Yes.
Whatever that movie's called. So if someone wants to do that for Flop Culture, it's helloflopculture@gmail.com because I want to.
The backup plan.
Yes, the backup plan. The backup plan.
The backup
Brilliant.
Plan. Oh, it took me so long to decide to watch that movie because they were setting Lachlan up to be like, okay, this could be it. This could be a new rom-com hero. And then, so I don't know what was coming down the tracks that they said, we're not investing in this anymore for years and years and years properly. I know we've had a few, but it was that... it was the year of I think it was the year of Eat, Pray, Love.
Yes, yeah.
I think 2010 was the year of Eat, Pray, Love as well, which just, I was like, Julia, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? Make it come back. And I think, like, there's been a dearth, like, until Ticket to Paradise came back, I was like, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
We're back to the Catherine Hepburn days. So very high up my list of, I'm sure I'm forgetting loads of Irish movies now. Irish-American movies. That I have probably watched continually, but I would watch Leap Year.
So do you think we're back kind of in a rom-com renaissance now?
I liked it. So I was on the phone to my 18-year-old niece who's doing her Leaving Cert, and she's at that age where, you know, she's going out, she's going to pubs and they're going out drinking or whatever. And one Saturday night she was off to see the Sydney Sweeney, Glenn, what's his name,
Anyone
movie,
But You, yeah.
With a Glenn big Powell. Gang of friends. And I think she's gone to see it a few times, like I would have done with One Fine Day.
Yeah.
You know, and I was sitting there going, oh my God, the young ones are going to the cinema to see a romantic comedy. I'm really hoping that we're starting to come back a little bit more because there's an awful lot of people who aren't looking at, like, you know, when Matthew McConaughey said, I'm done with them. And you're like, don't turn your back. Just pick bed. Just don't do Fool's Gold.
Yeah.
But don't turn your back on them. When he kind of turned his back, they were like, oh, it's dead now. Because he would have done anything.
Yeah.
And then every actor said, well, if he can go off and win Oscars, I'm not doing this anymore. But I think people see the benefit in them now, being like, oh, let's have a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
if we can get them to that sort of Catherine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy sort of an era, it should be good.
Yeah. Can I read you some reviews of Leap Year at the time? We had Nathan Rabin of the AV Club. They grade it like kind of the American grading system, so he gave it a C+. Said the film functions as the cinematic equivalent of a shamrock shake, sickeningly artificially sweet, formulaic, and about as authentically Gaelic as an Irish Spring commercial. Obsessed with that.
Thank you. Well done.
New York Times said Leap Year is so witless and charmless and unimaginative that it can be described as a movie only in a strictly technical sense. I enjoyed that. That made me laugh. That's a read. That's a read and a half.
Like, what was going on with Amy Adams at the time? You know, because she's had this really interesting career.
Yeah.
Sort of like as the extra in The Office, like Jim's girlfriend in The Office. And next thing, she's Amy Adams.
Yeah.
And she's absolutely everywhere. She's a fantastic actress.
We just did a rewatch of Sharp Objects for the Patreon. And like, it's the juxtaposition of these roles is like, it's beyond.
It is. But also, you should be able to do it all if you want to, you know,
and she,
right?
She is one of the best things about this. She,
100%.
Yeah.
100%. She is. And I also do remember the outfit at the time, you know, the cardigan.
Yeah.
And the pencil skirt with the heels. I lived with a bunch of accountants. That was what they were wearing. Like, they were going into work in the morning to be in Coppers until 5 a.m. Yeah. Like, accountants are crazy when they're in training. Like, they are top notch. And they were all wearing those sort of things.
Yeah.
So they did get the styling kind of right in it, whether that's a good or a bad thing.
Her hair is blow dried immaculately as well throughout. I have to say that.
Every time.
Oh.
Every time you're like, that's not... Like, if there was anything... Well, we can't have those things authentic, though, can we? Like, at least they didn't do the, you know, we're going to have a kiss when we wake up in the morning thing. Like, that is the thing that I hate most. I hate it more than the fake coffee cups and pretending there's liquid in it. It is the shift in the morning.
Yeah.
And the getting it on. And it's like, no, like, who doesn't have morning breath? Just brush your teeth. I can't deal with it. Again, one reason that I love Grey's Anatomy is because she gave out about McDreamy's morning breath. It's weird, but they all kind of have that dud, don't they? Like, they have a few duds. And I just wish that romantic comedy writers just put a little bit more, because it could have been something.
Yeah. Like, the concept is there. It just, there's part of me that just thinks a few more tweaks. I don't want to replace Matthew Good. Don't want to see him out of a job, but I just think, a few more cranks of a wrench, we would have had something fully formed and good. Not like ironically good, but like good.
Yeah. And the earnestness about the superstition of Leap Year was a bit annoying, because you're kind of sitting there, okay, we're post this now.
Yeah.
Like twee little nations and their stupid little superstitions. And we're post Bridget Jones.
Mm.
So we've kind of gone, hold on now. She's got a little bit of agency. We're not taking that seriously. But then you go on Reddit and you see Am I the Asshole, and there does seem to be this pantheon of, or this bunch of people who think they can say, Harriet, do you want to get married?
Yeah. Karen Valby actually wrote that at the time. She wrote this piece about Leap Year for Entertainment Weekly, where she kind of says this. She said, when will Hollywood drop this strangely clung to cliche that a grown woman will always be reduced to a needy brat when she gets a whiff of wedding cake? You want to know what was cute about Kimberly Williams in the movie Father of the Bride? Her character was a 22-year-old and she acted like one. Maybe young women her age still get silly and feverish about their fairy tale notions of weddings and marriage. Grown women don't. And kind of goes on to pull apart other movies for that reason. Adam's character is neither a ninny nor a child, and yet the whole marketing campaign of the film boils down to notion that what a woman today really wants, what she will not in fact live without, is a rock on her finger. She wants that rock so bad, the movie tells us, and yet she can only risk asking for it herself once every 4 years in Ireland.
That is, she's just got the nail on the head. It's this fallacy of who it is and what it is that we want when it comes to romantic comedies that they keep on pushing down our throat. And I'm like, why are we buying into this, first of all? Because that's not the way it is. And we're always like, oh, if more women get involved. But sometimes that doesn't solve it either. Because there has to be a cohort. We sit here going, there has to be a cohort. But there's not. I don't know anyone. I genuinely don't know anyone who would have been that desperate that they wouldn't have just said, Harry, are we going to get married, by the way?
the minute I opened those earrings, if I thought he was going to propose then, and the minute I opened those earrings, I would have just been like,
are we not? Yeah, like, why can't you say something?
Not gonna lie, I thought this was gonna be a ring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and if you're not willing to say, by the way, are we getting married? Like, what's gonna happen if he's infertile? And you have to have the real proper conversations of, well, maybe I might get someone else's sperm. Like, it's just that she's just got it right. It makes us all seem like fucking idiots.
Yeah,
and then when you do get that little bit older, and if you're selling to such a young cohort that they're 5-year-olds and the be all and end all is the white dress and the wedding, you're kind of like, well, what are you going to do for the, what about the people who are 28, 29, 30 who are going, absolutely not, lads, I need to get my house first, I got to do this. You're selling a fantasy that no one believes in anymore.
Yeah.
And no one wants anymore.
Yeah.
Because there's actually more important things that are more fun and more exciting than spending 20 grand on it. Like, I think most people say that. I love a wedding. They're absolutely fantastic. But most people I know would be like, no, I want to have the house to have the party in first rather than get the old wedding. So, yeah, it's still shoving it down our throats. I think it's weird. But they've surely stopped now.
No, I haven't watched enough modern day examples to.
No,
really,
I should have looked into what I've been watching, because I will watch any old shit. Any old shit. Give it to me. The one thing my job has interrupted my life, because my life was staying up until 5 o'clock in the morning watching the most horrendous thing from around the planet. But then as you get older, you start watching romantic comedies from places like Denmark and Finland. Not try to be that asshole, but they're so good.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is really funny.
Yeah.
And it's actually for adults.
Yeah.
So, I think Hollywood are trying to buy into a little bit of that, aren't they?
Yeah,
treating us like a little bit older. I can't wait until I'm 78 going, oh my God, the new romantic comedy that's for 15 years old. Like, I'm going to be that person. I remember when we were in transition year in school, a bunch of us went to see, I think it must have been Just Go With It.
Yeah.
Adam
Sandler, Jennifer Aniston?
No, absolutely not. Oh. Sorry. One of the best movies of all time, Kirsten Dunst, Cheerleader.
Bring It On.
Bring It On. Sorry. Like all of us, all the girls and the lads, because cheerleaders. So there must have been 20 of us walking in there. And we kind of walked in and there was this, we just see someone sitting by themselves. And it turned out it was like one of our student teachers. He was only about 28 and he was a religion teacher. And we were like, oh no, like there are just red flags going on here a lot. This is you should not be here. And I was like, why would you choose this showing? Like, cinema's beside our school. We're all well known for coming here when it's a rainy day after school and it's the after school showing. And he was sitting there and we were like, what is going
logic,
on
babes,
here?
Logic, babes.
Yeah, it was really, but I'm going to be that person. I will happily be that person in the cinema. 78 years old, going to watch many cheerleader movies.
Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell trying to revive their careers once again with Anyone But You Two.
Oh my God, I'm so into it. Have you seen Anyone But You?
No, not yet.
I think I'll cinema it.
Because they're this is my second episode in a row talking about this, but they're re-releasing it for Valentine's Day. They're calling it like the Valentine's Day Encore because it's doing so well.
Yeah.
Like, and it's nice, genuinely kind of reinvigorated rom-coms for cinema.
Because it's nice to see a rom-com when it's like, I spent days, because it happened so quickly, going, please let Ticket to Paradise stay in for more than 2 weeks. Please let it stay in for more than 2 weeks, because I cannot do another superhero movie. Like, I am just, even though I want Madam X to work.
Madam Web. Oh, babe. I don't think so.
I know.
I love your ambition, but even Dakota's like,
Yeah,
Dakota
I know.
Dakota Johnson's like, fuck.
She's giving off all the vibes. And you know those things, like, you know that rule. Once they give it to the women, you know that it's a failing franchise.
Yeah.
I just really enjoy Dakota and I would look at her hair.
Yes.
For 2 hours. The most amazing, amazing, amazing head of hair. But I was counting the days that Ticket to Paradise stayed in, because I was like, we need this. Guys, we need this to let them know that we want more and more and more of this. But then you have stuff like Fallen Leaves and the one that came out of France with Juliette Binoche this year. And I'm like, okay, do you know what? They're giving us romantic comedies from the other side as well.
Yeah.
So it should be okay. Again, though, it has given me a lifelong love of Matthew Good, like so much so that I cast him in other things. And he did not enjoy 1 minute of being in this film.
No.
Like, it makes me think that he hates Ireland. Like, he hates Ireland.
Yeah.
You're like, would he come back for anything else? Have I seen him here at any other time? Like, am I going to see him at the Book of Kells. And I'm like, no, no, it's such a bad time here in that movie that there's no way. But his facial hair was stunning.
Yeah.
Like all lads should be looking. Jamie Dornan, Matthew Good, great facial hair. He's never gotten facial hair as good as that, as he did in that movie. That is a triumph of the movie. Matthew Good's hair.
Matthew Good's hair, bop. Leap Year overall, kind of a flop, but a beloved flop of our hearts.
Oh, complete flop. Yeah. And should have been a flop. Mm. Should not have made over 30 million.
Yeah.
Shocking, to be honest. But beloved. Like, you know, you kill your darlings.
Truly.
I love it.
Maren, what a pleasure. You're so welcome back anytime. As you said, you watched so much shit. You can talk about whatever you want at any time. You text me, I'll text you. Where can people find you in
the
meantime?
Why did it take so long?
I'm sorry, I know it took too long. Next time you'll be back in.
Watched so much shit. I'm on the telly on Ireland Day. And I'm on Instagram. Which I'm attempting to step away from.
Fair.
Yeah.
Social media is awful.
Oh yeah.
Media is awful. Everything's awful.
When I was kind of like, oh, you feel bad all the time. Maybe it has something to do with your phone being in your hand. Okay, let's step away from that. But still, it can be fun for some things.
Some things.
Yeah. A delight, by the way. One of my very favourite people, genuinely. A delight.
Thank you, Mara O'Connell. You are so welcome. Thank you for joining me on Flop Culture. Much appreciated. Big thank you once again to Maren. I leave all of her links in the show notes. Leap Year is very hard to find streaming wise. So if you are listening to this on the 29th, I do want to say Lighthouse Cinema in Dublin is screening it. I'm not sure if there are any tickets left as I say this, but if there are, I'm giving you a heads up so you can go watch. Otherwise you might have to get a DVD. Does anyone even have a DVD player anymore? Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, from one flop to another, let's talk Top the Flop, shall we?
You're a flop.
Top of the flops this week is J-Lo. Or is it? Or is it really, right? Because you have this sequel album, This Is Me Now, going into number 38 on the Billboard 200. The sequel album to This Is Me Then, but This Is Her Now, okay? Goes in at number 38 in the Billboard 200. This was an album that couldn't have had any more promo if it tried. You had the album itself, because it was part of a trilogy, lest you forget. We had the album itself. We had the movie, the visual album, which, if you want an episode on it, let me know, because I'll do it. Bonkers. And then you have the behind the scenes making of the album documentary, The Greatest Love Story Never Told, in which Ben Affleck is like, you're telling our love story, is the whole, but this title is called The Love Story Never Told. Why are you doing that, babe? Whatever. He's saying that. And then you also have her talking about all these people who she asked to be in the movie and they said no, which I'm kind of like, it's incredible that you still included that. You know what I mean? Like, we've got the likes of, she asked Taylor Swift, grant me the confidence of Jennifer Lopez emailing Scott and whatever her mam's name is, I cannot remember off the top of my head, the Swift parents being like, hey girlies, is Taylor free for my little movie, si vous plaît? Bonkers. Now, she wasn't the only one who said no. There's loads of others that said no. Jason Momoa, kind of random. Jennifer Coolidge, I get it. God, would have liked to see her in it. Lizzo, maybe a blessing in disguise if she didn't do it. Vanessa Hudgens, random. Ariana Grande, the aforementioned, and Snoop Dogg were also unavailable for cameos. I mean, and then for the album to only go in at number 38. I don't know. I feel like we're going to be talking about this in a year's time when I'm 60 years of age, still talking about flops. We're going to do a retroactive on this and see. But I don't know. In other ways, I've seen the argument that it was like, yeah, the whole thing makes no sense. It's absolutely bonkers. But you know what? Fair play to her. This was a story she wanted to tell from her perspective, her own money. That's great. Let's let more women do that, you know? And I think that's a good argument. And you know what? Maybe I'm a hater. Am I not a feminist? Do I hate J-Lo? No, but just bonkers. Especially if you consider all the drama she had with Ayo Debris, you know? Like, you thought that might have gussied up something. I suppose my perspective is, who was actually looking for new Jennifer Lopez music in 2024 that was narrative driven, that was about this whole thing of, I'm crazy in love, I'm a sucker for love, I'm addicted to love, like I just can't find the right person.
I don't think that was enough. Like, the Ben, obviously her getting back together with Ben was like really interesting at the time, but I kind of feel like people are over it now because she won't stop talking about it. I don't know. Am I being unfair? Let me know. Did you love it? Best movie of the year? And the Oscar goes to Jennifer Lopez? We'll see. Who knows? Anyway, that's it for me. Thank you so much for listening to Flop Culture. I mentioned we're on Instagram and TikTok. It's at flopculture_pod. We'll take suggestions there if you have any suggestions. And I'll also take your ratings. I'd love some ratings wherever you're listening. Apple or Spotify or wherever. Much appreciated. We're on Patreon. Would you like at least 2 bonus episodes a month? Well, you're in luck because you can get them at patreon.com/flopculture. So this month we've covered the halftime show. We have covered Sharp Objects as part of Bop Culture. We have talked about Book Talk. And this week I am recording my Bop or Flap episode on True Detective Season 4 with Cian Roach. That will be coming very soon. And also, I know you've been waiting, a Bop Culture on Fleabag, an update is coming soon with Owen Keane. So stay tuned for that. It's patreon.com/flopculture. Let's shout out some recent patrons. Hello, Louise D. Thank you for subscribing. Hello to Genevieve L. Thank you for subscribing. And also thank you to Nicholas C. for subscribing. Huge appreciations. And as I said, that's your platform as much as it is mine. If you have any suggestions for there, let me know. I'd love to know. Anyway, that's it. We're done. This has been Flap Culture, edited by Adam Shannon. I will see you next week. Ta-ra!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Tsunis.
Kayla Itsinis.
I'm Kayla Tsunis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.